The last day of January, January 31st, 2024, is a day that everybody remembers. Well, maybe not everybody, but Jeff Bezos does, because that is the day in which Amazon, his beloved little bookstore that has grown into one of the major retailer in the world. So why does he remember that day? That is because the day that they entered the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Well, why have they been added to the Dow? And what is the Dow? Why are we talking about the Dow? What is the point? Well, stick around. You're going to find out. We're going to talk about, is it a good thing that Amazon was added to the Dow Jones Industrial Average? We're going to talk about, was that a sell the news event? Will this have lasting effects for Amazon? Will this propel Amazon to new all-time highs? Well, today's show, we're going to hope to analyze a few of those questions. We're going to talk about the Dow, what it is, and then we're going to discuss some points from some major investors, some analysts who think Amazon has some legs, and it's probably not just because of this addition to the Dow. You're listening to This Is Investing, the show where I search the financial world for the most up-to-date investment ideas, market trends, and income streams so you don't have to. I'm your host, Nick Bradley. Let's get into it.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So let's start with the Dow Jones Industrial Average. What is it? I mean, I'm sure you've heard of the Dow. I mean, if you're listening to this show, you've probably heard of the Dow. But just in case, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is a stock market index. It is the index that tracks the 30 largest publicly owned blue chip companies on the New York Stock Exchange. So itself is not like an exchange, even though sometimes people talk about the market and immediately American news talks about the Dow. And then they talk about the S&P, and then they talk about the NASDAQ. But truly what they're discussing, like when the main thesis point on the nightly news, if they're talking about the markets, they lead with the Dow Jones Industrial Average, because it is, again, those 30 largest publicly owned companies on the New York Stock Exchange. The Dow Jones is named after Charles Dow, who created the index in, get this, 1896, along with his business partner, a guy you may have heard of, Edward Jones. It's also referred to as the Dow 30 sometimes, or just the Dow. It's an index that is considered to be a gauge of the larger, kind of broad U.S. economy. So when you're looking at these 30 companies, you're supposed to be able to get a quick gauge of what's going on in the economy of the United States. So in the early 20th century, the performance of the industrial companies was typically tied to the overall growth rate in the company. You know, back in the day, America was run by steel, it was run by coal, it was run by rail, it was run by oil. So the industrial part of the Dow, you know, is supposed to fit that kind of thing. And it cemented this verbiage of, that's kind of why people say Dow now instead of Dow Jones Industrial Average, because it is more than just industry, like industrial kind of things. It is a snapshot of the total macro economy. So today when investors have a strong performing Dow equals a strong performing economy, and a weak performing Dow indicates kind of a weak performing economy. And as the economy changes over time, so does the composition of the index. And a component of the Dow can be dropped sometimes, like if a company becomes less relevant to current trends of the economy, it can be replaced by a new name that better reflects the shift in the American economy. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. For instance, there's a company that could be removed from the index because its market cap drops. It's no longer one of the big four. Maybe what they do has gone out of vogue. Like maybe we'll talk about Kodak here in a minute. Kodak, the film company, used to be part of the Dow Jones Industrial Average. Well, you guys all went digital, all you young whippersnappers, and now no one's buying film, and Kodak missed the moment. So anyway, stocks with higher prices are given greater weight in the index. So a higher percentage move in the higher price component will have a greater impact on the financial calculated value of the Dow. So let's talk about that. At the Dow's inception, Charles Dow calculated the average by adding the prices of the 12 Dow stocks, dividing them by 12. Pretty simple. The result was a simple average. Over time, there were additions and subtractions to the index, and those adds had to be accounted for. So if somebody had a merger or there was a stock split, and therefore the 12 divided by 12 didn't make sense, so I had to change the arithmetic. The Dow is not calculated using a weighted arithmetic like the S&P 500. Rather, it reflects the sum of the price of one share of stock for all the components divided by the divisor. I know that's dorky language. Thus, at one point, a one-point move in any component stock will move the index by the identical number of points. The Dow Jones Industrial launched again in 1896, just with 12 companies, primarily in the industry sector. As I mentioned, railroads, cotton, gas, sugar, tobacco, oil. The index grew to 30 companies by 1928, and it hasn't changed any more than 30. Now they're sticking with 30, and some get dropped in, some get dropped out. It changes by company, but not by number. The first large-scale change was in 1932, when 8 stocks in the Dow were replaced. If you recall, the 1930s, the late 20s, were not a great time to be in the stocks. The Dow was reevaluated on a regular basis, and companies are replaced when they no longer meet the index's criteria with things that do. So over time, the index became a bellwether of the U.S. economy. It reflects economic changes. For example, U.S. Steel was removed from the index in 1991 and replaced by a building material company called Martin Marietta. Other major changes to the Dow Jones came in 1997 when Westinghouse Electric, Bethlehem Steel, Texaco, and Woolworths were replaced by Travelers Group, Johnson & Johnson, Hewlett-Packard, and Walmart. In 1999, when Chevron, Sears Roebuck, Union Carbide, and Goodyear Tire were dropped, and they were replaced by Home Depot, Intel, Microsoft, and SBC Communication. Most recently, Walgreens Boots replaced General Electric. In August 2020, Salesforce replaced Amgen, and Honeywell were added to the Dow, replacing Exxon, Mobil, Pfizer, and Raytheon Tech. Raytheon had joined the Dow Jones earlier that year after United Technologies merged with Raytheon Company. And then what we're talking about today is Walgreens Boots being replaced by Amazon. Before we get into that, I want to talk real quick. If people are talking about the Dow Jones Industrial Average or the Dow as like the bigger, broader section, like how does it differ from the S&P 500? Well, the S&P 500 and the Dow Jones are the two most watched stock indexes in the U.S. and possibly the two biggest watched around the world. However, these two benchmarks are pretty different. The Dow Jones tracks 30 large cap stocks, while the S&P 500, as you may have guessed, tracks the 500 largest companies in the U.S. The Dow Jones index is priced weighted, while the S&P 500 is market cap weighted. A lot of information has gone to that in the last year or two as the, quote, Magnificent Seven makes up a huge percentage of the S&P 500. So even as the S&P 500 is 500 of the largest companies in America, let's see if I can name them off the top of my head, Tesla, NVIDIA, Microsoft, Amazon, Google. So the S&P 500 has the Magnificent Seven, and those seven huge companies make up like 25% of the returns of the entire S&P 500 because they're market cap weighted. So as those companies continue to get bigger and bigger and bigger, they hold a bigger and bigger slice of the S&P 500 index. You following that? So the index, the Dow, only has 30 companies, and then the Dow index itself is price weighted, meaning that it does not always present an accurate reflection of the broader market in general. Companies in the Dow are also chosen by a committee and are balanced to try to represent the state of the overall economy. And this means that certain companies may be added or deleted from the index periodically without much in the way of being like able to predict if the stock price has gone better or worse. The company can just say, hey, the market's changing this particular direction. I think this company should be added to the Dow Jones. So despite its limitations, the Dow still holds a special place in the American finance, even though it's not necessarily as market moving as the S&P 500 is. So now that we've got some fundamentals about the Dow, let's discuss the newest addition, Amazon, a company I'm sure you recognize the brand name and their huge distribution centers around the world, delivering you everything from diapers to diamonds. But we're going to look at Amazon, the company as a whole. We're going to dig in a little bit to the financials, and we're going to see if there's some revenue coming from other sources that may have been overlooked. because Amazon has been added to the Dow Jones, which means it's going to replace one of the 30 companies, as I've discussed. It's replacing Walgreens. Yeah, the Dow isn't as important as the S&P 500, but when you're looking at this, it is interesting because although the Dow has like maybe 1/100th of the importance of the S&P 500 in terms of indices that are benchmarked against it, it's a small move adding Amazon to the Dow. So like Amazon being added to the Dow doesn't, that in and of itself isn't going to help Amazon. However, it has a symbolic meaning because Amazon is replacing Walgreens. And it's also replacing Walgreens in real life. Like you used to go to Walgreens because they were on every single corner. You would swing by and you'd be like, okay, Walgreens here. It's convenient. It's easy. It's right here. I don't have to think about it. It's a place to go get some of your, you know, makeup things, a quick grab, some snacks, you know, whatever it was. Like there was always a Walgreens or their competitors on the corner. And now you don't even leave your house for that kind of thing. You just click on Amazon and you can literally have things delivered from Amazon or from Whole Foods to your door within an hour. So as Walgreens is being replaced in the Dow, it's also has been basically replaced in real life by Amazon. So Amazon is both replacing them in real life and in the Dow. And if you look at what's going on with Amazon year to date, the company is doing very well. They're up 17% as of the time of this recording. Investors are very excited about Amazon. And if you look at the trailing 1 year, the stock is up a massive 86%. It is just on a huge roll. It's around $175 per share. It seems like just yesterday it was trading at $80 or $90 per share in the fall of 2022. And I remember having discussions with my friends, at what point is it make sense to buy Amazon? Like, is Amazon done? Like, there was the huge hype. Is the only reason Amazon really went out of control because everybody was locked up in their homes during 2020 and it kind of got overpriced and people were thinking that would go on forever? Well, it turns out we're all still lazy. And even though we're allowed to leave our homes now, we aren't leaving our homes to go to retail stores. So now any buy that you made below $100 on Amazon looks very good. And if you added to that position, congratulations. You're probably jumping in with a bit of hope and probably some conviction, and then you've been rewarded handsomely as Amazon has recovered. But around 175, is Amazon a buy still? Is this something worth dollar cost averaging into? Is this a buy? Is this a sell? Or is this a hold? Well, right after the break, we're going to dig into the fundamentals of Amazon and hopefully try to answer that question, as well as have Mark Mahaney, the head of internet research and Evercore ISI hedge fund, on the show via a clip from YouTube. So stick around and we will be right back.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss. If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back. So Amazon, the big retail box store crusher, is now more than a household name. I'm at the point in my life that I'm not even sure that I could live without it. It's like so big, it's so feasible, and it's so entrenched in like our everyday life. I think three packages came to my house yesterday of things I probably could have gone out and searched for, but I didn't. I just went click, click, buy, 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 and here they are arriving. So it's so big, like how much more growth can this company get? Like people are reselling stuff that they buy at Costco and they're trying to make a profit margin by doing this on Amazon, and Amazon's, you know, this huge retailer and they're buying Rivian vans to be more electric and easier to save the world, to deliver things. you know, is this a point in which it's overvalued? Is there any more growth that Jeff Bezos can squeeze out of the retail space? Well, listen to this clip. This is on CNBC's The Squawk Box, which is a stock-based show here in the States. And this is the analyst Mark Mahaney. He's the head of internet research in Evercore. His hedge fund is called Evercore ISI. And here is a clip we're going to listen, and I will respond to his particular take.
Well, our top pick right now, just to get right to it, is Amazon. And that's because you've only started to see this kind of real turn in the fundamentals. I think in 2024, Amazon's going to give you three fundamental catalysts. You're going to have accelerating AWS or cloud revenue growth. You're going to have record high retail operating margins. And you're going to have record high free cash flow margins for the company as a whole. Those are three really powerful catalysts, and the stock can still re-rate. The multiple can still catch up a little bit. Most of the other stocks have already gone through their re-rating. Amazon hasn't, so it's got the most juice to the upside.
Amazon has the most juice to the upside. So the first thing to take away from Mark's pitch is that Amazon is his top pick. And if you don't know, Mark has been on fire the last 5 or 10 years with his, quote, top picks. His last top pick was Meta. When the world was laughing at Mark Zuckerberg, including myself, for wasting money on the Metaverse project, Mark, the analyst Mark, not Mark Zuckerberg, was buying the dip. He saw Facebook dropping, he saw Meta dropping, and he was like, okay, $100 per share, this is going to make everybody who follows me very happy. Because now Meta is trading at over $500 per share. In under 2 years, there's been a 330% increase. I would call that pretty decent. And who was saying to buy Meta back then? Mark Mahaney. So when I mentioned that Mark has replaced Meta as his top pick for Amazon, we should probably be paying attention. His three main reasons why Amazon are going to have a great year is cloud, retail, and cash flow. Cloud we'll talk about in just a minute because it's a pretty important feature and I want to talk about that towards the end. Retail, he's discussing the margins that Amazon is making on the retail portion of the business. It's incredible considering how big Amazon is, but they are still producing great margins. And with great margins typically comes great returns. And when great returns come, typically that is reflected in stock price. However, cash flow is king. Cash flow, perhaps, listen to this, $70 billion of free cash flow is the estimate for 2024. $70 billion of free cash flow in 2024. That's how much they are expected to generate this year. Because the margins are increasing all of the businesses. So when you're buying Amazon, you're almost buying like an index. You're buying an ETF. It's like companies within companies within companies. And sometimes that's a bad thing if they lose their focus. Amazon seems to have the management style in place that they can handle these additional businesses. So all the businesses are across the board, are margins are supposed to be rising. At the same time that CapEx, their capital expenditure, is lowering, they've made huge investments over the last few years, and those investments are starting to pay off, and the debts are starting to come down. So when you have retail margins getting better, you have expenses coming down, therefore cash flow is going to stack like a king. So Mark Mahaney, the same analyst from that clip earlier, did an interview earlier this year where he raised his price target from Amazon from $180 per share, which we're pretty close to right now at $175. And he thinks that his end of the year target for Amazon, he is looking for Amazon to hit $220 per share. That's about a 25% increase from where he was guessing at $180 per share. And he likes Amazon because they're dominant, nearly almost a monopoly type company. The same reason why they were just added to the Dow Jones Industrial Average is the reason why Mark Mahaney likes them as a purchase here, because people are no longer just going to Walgreens for the convenience. They're going to the website Amazon.com for the convenience. So companies that tend to have dominant market, almost like monopoly, Warren Buffett calls it a moat, tend to do really well in those respective markets. Sometimes you think like, oh, this company is so big, let's find the little guy. And if that little guy can just steal a small percentage from the big guy, it could be a skyrocketing opportunity. And sometimes that's true. However, let's look at what's happened recently. Netflix has a dominant market share in the streaming business. And guess what? Netflix is doing very well. At the same time, when Warner Brothers Discovery is doing poorly, when Paramount stock has dropped 50-some percent, is doing poorly, when other people are just giving up on their streaming, Netflix, the dominant player, the kind of the first one there, has been doing very well. They're continuing to do well. Then you have Visa and you've got MasterCard. They are the dominant market share in digital processing payments. And guess what? In those categories, Visa and MasterCard are dominating. Now looking at Amazon, Amazon is a big player in a couple markets. They're the biggest player in the most dominant position in online retail. Try to name off second place. Who do you think is the second most dominant online retailer in the world? Well, it's Walmart. And then you've got a little bit of Target, but Target's really more like buy your stuff online and then drive to our store and we'll throw it in the back of your bin. Is that what you guys call it? No, that's a trash can. Your boot. Throw it in the back of your boot. And then you've got Shopify, a teeny little player against Amazon. And they had a good run in 2020, but they're never going to catch Amazon. Amazon controls the dominant position of a highly concentrated market. They have 40% of total online market share goes straight into Amazon's pocket. The biggest players typically continue to get the biggest margins, and they continue to get the biggest growth and generation from that. But Amazon is not just a retail player. The third point that Mark Mahaney mentioned that he thinks is going to propel Amazon into the stratosphere is cloud computing. Here is what Amazon is doing with cloud computing. And if you do not know, cloud computing is extremely important in the AI space. So every time you hear someone talk about AI on the news or AI at the water cooler or AI when you're trying to go to the bathroom, because everybody's talking AI, you need cloud computing, you need cloud companies, you need cloud storage to run that kind of AI processing. Here are the largest companies from smallest to largest in terms of market share. Holding 4% of the global market share for AI cloud computing space is Alibaba. 11% is Google. 21% is combined of a bunch of other smaller companies with less than 4% each, like Salesforce and Oracle. 24% of the market share, which is a pretty big piece, is controlled by Azure, which is a Microsoft company. And in first place, with 31% of the entire cloud market share, is AWS, which stands for Amazon Web Services. If AWS can accelerate in 2024 better than it did in 2023, that is going to be gangbusters. The biggest player by far in this space is Amazon. They have nearly a moat around cloud computing. And when you have a great moat, and you're already number one, and cloud hosting is going up, it's a growing space in general, well, it's going to be a great growing space for Amazon. Throw in the fact that Amazon has started getting into advertising. They started doing advertising like 3 years ago, both on streaming and online and on their products. And they are now the third largest advertising company in the market. So closing up, there are a lot of things to like about Amazon. I have some shares of Amazon now, and I think I'm going to start dollar cost averaging them into my retirement account. But don't follow me. Don't just blindly follow Mark Mahaney. Do some research. Find out if these reasons presented by Mark are good enough reasons for you to like Amazon as well. And then when you find that out, put a plan, stick to the plan, and be happy in your retirement. So thanks for joining us today. That's it for today's show. You've been listening to This Is Investing, the show where I search the world for the most up-to-date market ideas, income streams, and all sorts of other ways for you to make money. This is Nick Bradley, your host. We'll see you next week. This podcast is produced and published by Oregon Trail Investor in the USA. All information is for entertainment purposes only. The brand This Is Investing is used under license.